Blog Talk Radio.
Cooker, we're putting 40 pounds of leg quarters on it right now. I got my main cameraman, my man William Radford over here running the camera for us. And folks, we could not get internet signal out here where we're cooking, so we'll have a delayed broadcast about 8:30. We'll start the live broadcast on the front of Barbecue Superstars. I hate it, but of course you can tune in live right now on the radio. We're going to do a whole lot of fun stuff. We're actually going to compare Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Bud Light. And I'm going to mix up a Bloody Mary barbecue superstars. Hell yes, doll. And Lord have mercy. Now, I put 40 pounds of chicken on this thing a couple times, and it was never this full. These pieces are huge, man. Well, actually, like, stacked up and racked up a little too high, but this BBQ 42 Meadow Creek is a fantastic cooker, folks, and I tell you, all this chicken will be done before the radio show is over. It's just an amazing thing to use. I let my rub get out of reach. I had to run over there and get the rub so I could reach it. And we're going to go ahead and put the rub on it. Now, what I did was I didn't pre-rub the chicken. I've laid the 40 pounds of chicken out on this Meadow Creek. You'll see it at 8:30. And I'm going to rub it now, put the rub on it now. And some people like to put it on 15 minutes beforehand, but I've seen the manufacturer and some of his compadres do it this way, so we're going to do it this way tonight. And woo, chicken looking good. What's up in the house? It's the barbecue superstars. Hell yeah. All right, we're fixing to clamp it down. The way this thing works is, I'm sure a lot of you know, you got a bottom rack, and then you got chicken in the middle, and you got a top rack, and the top rack will clamp down on the bottom rack, which means you'll be able to turn it over without touching any chicken. You just touch the rack and turn the whole rack over. I've got it so full, it's a little bit hard to get it latched, but that also means there'll be enough tension there that it's not going to let any chicken loose, fall out of me, spin it back and forth. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over so I can put rub on the bottom. And it's a direct grill. It's not a offset. Now, they've got one that has an offset box on it, just like this. But this one here is a direct grill. And I tell you what, it does a fantastic job on chicken. And, you know, if you're vending, you can cook 40 pounds of chicken an hour on one of these. And they'll line them up where, you know, they'll put 10 of these in a row. You cook 400 pounds of chicken at a time. And it comes out really good. You can sell a lot of it at any contest or any place that you happen to be vending. Churches, schools, football games. These people will go nuts for it. And the dealer told me, Jim Plank, that it actually gets hotter when the top is up. Imagine that. You know, that don't happen very often. Usually you got to close the top down for the heat to get hot, but the way this thing works, this direct grill on this BBQ 42, it gets hotter when the top's down. Well, it's Friday night. I know everybody's worked really hard. And, been a long day for everybody, and we're going to start off today by going through a few products that we got, and the first one I want to talk about is this wireless barbecue thermometer set from Maverick. Maverick has become one of our sponsors. They gave us a Maverick Ready Check, and I tell you, they do a fantastic job. I just seen somewhere where somebody else was using one, and temperature meat, temperature in your grill, and then you've got the unit that you can put in your pocket, go in the house, and you'll have your temperatures right there with you. Now, I've used it on the television when we had the offset Meadow Creek. We used it, and fantastic product, and it's pretty cheap. Go to maverick.com and get yourself a Ready Check. Now, they've got Maverick thermometers, and this thing here is fantastic. You just pull the thing open, and it automatically turns on. And real tough construction. And every time I've used it, boom, within seconds, you have the correct temperature of the meat. And Maverick makes a fantastic thermo pan. So make sure you get that today. Go to maverick.com. Okay, now, folks, we're going to throw a little offer out there to you. If you buy a Barbecue Superstars membership for $100, we have got a Smoking Coals. The first person who buys one will send you a Smoking Coals gym bag, and it's pretty big. It'll hold a lot of stuff, and we'll send you a few books of matches and some beer koozie cups. And the first person this week, if you get a $100 Barbecue Superstars membership, we're going to send you a cool hat. It's a hunting hat. It's camouflaged. Of course, we'll send you a bunch of beer koozies and Barbecue Superstars matches. These Barbecue Superstars matches are really cool. They're about 4 inches long, which makes it easy when you light a fire that you're not burning your fingers on everything that you touch. And, man, we got the chicken cooking. Let's turn it over one more time since I got both sides. I got both sides seasoned. Let's start off cooking on the bottom. And, all right, so Barbecue Superstars Friday night. You know, we're going to get – I got three mugs here. And one of them's a University of South Carolina mug. Get a close-up of that, cameraman. We like that right there. And then we got another beer mug, same size with no logo on it. And you can buy these South Carolina beer mugs on Barbecue Superstars now. We haven't got all 60,000 pieces, but we've got coming up on 60,000 pieces of merchandise that we're going to put in our store for every protein and every NBA, NFL, NHL. Division I college team. We'll have all the merchandise for all those. Now, what we've got here today, we've got Coors Light in a 16-ounce bottle. We've got Miller Lite in a 16-ounce can. Now, these cans are tall and kind of round. They're cool. The thing about the cans is they pour out of them easily. And then we've got Bud Light in a 16-ounce can. So what we want to do is pop it. Whoa! Yeah, we're going to pour it on in the big glass. Can y'all hear that? Now, that's not tricks or sound effects, folks. That's real beer going in a real big glass. And I hope we don't have a lot of phone problems because I didn't tip the glass. No, it held it easily. Okay, well, there's the Bud Light. Now, let's get the tailgate beer of the century. Let's get Miller Lite. Miller Lite. Man down. All right, now we're pouring it up right beside the Bud Light. Oh, no phone problem. How about that? Bud Light foamed up 6 inches. Miller Light just pulled right on in there. Okay, now, last but not least, Coors Light. Who's cold? Ice Cube is cold, not Coors Light. All right, so we're pouring it up now. No phone problem. Well, there you have it, folks. Now, Bud Light's got all kinds of bubbles sticking up 4 or 5 inches over top of the glass. Miller Light's got about a half inch. And Coors Light essentially doesn't have any foam. I'm looking at straight beer in the Coors Light jar. Now, how about that? Well, let's do a taste test. All right, now, Coors Light has a heavy beer smell in the aroma, and it's got a little staying kick to it. I'm not saying that it's got the – it's not hot. It's like it stings your mouth, though. I don't know what causes that or what would be the reason for that. But I got – beer on my cell phone. I know that can't be good. Okay, let's try the Bud Light. Not as much beer smell. Not quite as much kick like a sting when you drink it, and the foaming action. You know, Bud Light's got a lot more bubbles in it, doesn't it? You see all the bubbles in there? Dang. It's fizzing with bubbles. The Miller Lite's got a little bubbles, but not a lot. Well, let's try the Bud Light. Wow, Bud Light, Miller Lite have a distinctive different taste to them. You know, Bud Light's got more bubbles, but it tasted a little deader than the Miller Lite did. And well, I don't know. We're gonna set these up here and now some of you out there try to say that Miller Lite is cheerleader beer. But Barbecue Superstars has definitely got to go against that. Miller Lite's some hell yeah beer. And we love Miller Lite. Well, folks, we're going to let them sit there for a few minutes and think about it. And now, Frederick Dick is our primary sponsor on knives, folks. And I know if you've seen me do some cooking, these Frederick Dick knives really perform well. We've got a meat cleaver that I believe would cut my house in two. And really tough construction, heavy steel. And then we've got a few of these big meat knives. You know, I used to always buy real cheap knives like these kind of a triangular meat knife, and you'll see it on the video later, but they never did cut that much. You know, and you see in the movies, they always get this knife in the movies when the prowler comes in the house. And I was like, well, dang, they're kind of cheap. They don't work that good. I'm going to tell you something. This Frederick Dick knife will cut your damn head off. It's hell no. I mean, you know, when the stupid girl goes in the window and drops the knife, that really is her ass, because this thing could have saved her. And, of course, you know, you can't use a knife to go up against a gun. That ain't going to work. So we're going to flip over our chicken one more time over here and now try to get the top part. Now, one thing about this BBQ 42, it's 42 inches wide and 30 inches, 42 inches long and 30 inches wide. When you turn it over on the one side, it's closer to the fire about 2 inches. When you turn it over to the other side, it'll actually raise it up 2 inches. So you have a little bit of a difference in the cooking of it because of the raising and lowering of the. Now, we've got us some Big Papa's. Now, we got Big Papa's Country Kitchen. That's Dana L. Hillis. Big Papa's Country Kitchen makes some fantastic sauces and rubs. He's a big-time champion. Full line of hot sauces, full line of barbecue sauces, full line of rubs, and a barbecue school. But now there's another guy in Florida that's just Big Papa's. The Country Kitchen's not on there. And he's got a line of sauces that he sent me. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to mixing up some sauces or making some barbecue, you know, you get you some regular barbecue sauce and you bust off a little Big Papa's in it. Now, this is habanero peach sauce. Man, it just makes them flavors jump and stand out. So, folks, go to my website. They're on there. You can buy them there. Or go to www.bigpapassaucs.com, BigPapaSauces.com, and get all you want. Get the small bottles and try them. But, you know, right now we've got to talk about this Jokia. Now, I got to stand it here in my hand. And, folks, yet last week, now I've been able to drink just about every barbecue sauce I've ever held in my hand. But last week I got this Jokia, and, folks, it set me on fire. Now, Kajans makes this. And I tell you, Kajans made it hot. Now, this is the hottest barbecue sauce I've ever put in my mouth. And I put sugar, I put milk, I put everything in my mouth because it had me burning up so bad. But I just wanted to show it to you, Jokia's. Now, Jokia's, to me, would be a good mixing sauce. So we're going to mix up a little sauce right now. And now, if you're wondering why, if you could see right now, I've got one of them electric eyes. It's a two-eye set that, you know, you could buy for outdoors, or it's mobile. And if you're wondering why I've got that, don't ever use barbecue sauce cold. Barbecue sauce is always to be heated up before you coat it on the meat. Now, you don't have to, you know, if you're way out in the woods somewhere, and of course you always have your grill, but you don't have the means of heating it up, by all means, put it on the hot meat and don't worry about it. But right now I'm putting some Plowboys in Fuego. Now, that's got a little heat to it, with smoking coals. Now, smoking coals is the hell yeah sauce of the world. Go to www.smokingcoals.com. And get you some smoking coals. We're going to put some Fly Boys and Fuego and smoking coals in there. And then I'm going to do something that's just wrong. I'm going to go ahead and pour me a little Jokias in there. Now, I ain't going to pour a lot. I'm going to pour a little bit. But that there, I add a little good heat to it. Ooh, that might have been too much. I tell you what, a little dab of duty on that deal. And now we're going to get us some Papa Sauces, Manganero Peach Sauce. So I think it's got a little habanero in the manganero. Let me see. Yep, red habanero pepper. We're going to bust the top on this. We really appreciate Big Papa sending this. And we're going to put a little bit of this in our barbecue sauce. Now, folks, I tell you, it always pays to experiment. You know, don't just jump on the first train that comes by. Man, try to create your own train. And that's what we're going to do right now. Now, this, you know, when it comes to ribs, you got to use fruit. And pineapple is number one on ribs. But we're going to put this little peach manganero in there. Now, there's habanero in this peach. And I put some jokia in there. Somebody's getting ready to get their ass set on fire in just a few minutes. Hopefully it won't be me. Now, the last one I'm going to put in there is Big Papa's garlic. Big Papa's got some peach and garlic barbecue sauce. The peach is really good. We're going to put some Big Papa's Country Kitchen now. Big Papa's Country Kitchen in there. And we're going to mix it around just a little bit. Now, one thing my main man always does, that's Mr. Brad Kay, and I got to bring him up on every show because that's my brother, man. He always puts honey. He always puts a little honey in every in all his barbecue sauces. I didn't bring it out here, so I'm going to skip the honey. But we're going to come on in here and mix it all up now, get some mixers going. And now we're going to let it heat. Now, the reason you heat barbecue sauce before you use it is because it just coats the meat better. Cold barbecue sauce will make a real thick coat and kind of lay on it thicker in one place than the other. Heated up barbecue sauce will coat your barbecue sauce really well. And man, we got that chicken there cooking up, looking good over here on this BBQ42. We got that blue smoke rolling. Folks, I wish everybody could see what we're doing. You'll see it after 8:30. I'll go in, hook my camera up to the internet, and we'll broadcast it live at 8:30. Now, Frederick Dick makes a fantastic knife sharpener. And listen, here's the quick sharpener. And one reason this knife sharpener is so effective is because the knives are so good. But, you know, you get your little sharpener down there, and you just hit it backwards one time. And next thing you know, these knives are so sharp. Uh-oh, I got a call from the FBA. All right, I think Barn Goddess is going to call into the radio show right now, so that ought to be a whole lot of fun. let's see what Barn Goddess has got to say tonight. And while we're waiting on her to call into the radio show, give me just 1 minute. Here, check this picture while I'm gone.
Daryl, are you there?
Hey, Barn Goddess, what's going on?
Not much. I saw you were on tonight, and I didn't have a heavy load this evening, and I wanted to call in.
Man, I'm glad you did. Now, we were going to live feed it, but when I got out here to my deck, I couldn't get the internet hooked up to my thing, but we are going to rebroadcast at 8:30, so you'll be live then. But where are you at this weekend? You competing?
No, we're down for like 3 weeks. We don't have anything until there's a competition in Georgia, and then we've got the Swanee, and then basically we go from the Swanee to one more Georgia contest, and then the Fun Cook. But Florida is down for a week. I'm like traumatized, but I was doing baby back ribs tonight on my new Green Mountain and practicing so that I can eventually win ribs. I just keep getting like fifth or sixth, you know.
Oh, wow. So Green Mountain grills. What kind of Green Mountain grill have you got? Have you got different brands of them?
Yeah, I bought the Jim Bowie, which is a little bit bigger one, and because I think you remember seeing my rig. I have like an 800-gallon stick burner, and it's a little bit big for me to do by myself. So I wanted something smaller, and I bought the Assassin, and now I have the Jim Bowie, and I'm planning to do my ribs and my chicken on there for the extra smoke.
Oh, wow, that's big news. Now, come on, guys, I got to ask you, man, how's it going in the FBA right now? I mean, who are the front runners?
Okay, so we've got Sweet Smoke Q, and I should look at my paperwork because I had this all written down, but Jim Elzer with Sweet Smoke Q had literally pulled ahead in the last week's contest by like 18 points. But the top five, you got Hot Wachula, you got Big Papa's Country Kitchen, the top five are within 22 points of each other. And It's really, like I told Jim the other day, looking as an outsider, it's pretty exciting, you know, to watch out. One day he's 2 points down, and the next day he's 18 points up. So it's going to be
close for
the team of the – team of the year is pretty fun to watch. You've got Blitzkrieg and Rub from Swamp Boys. All those guys in the top 10 are very, very tight. You got Terry McKay from Gitter Smoked, which is one of my buds. And everybody's real close. It's fun to watch, you know.
Well, I've got me some Bloody Mary mix, Lori, and I've got a little vodka here, and I've got some pepper and some salt. And I've got some barbecue sauces, and if you were about to mix up a Bloody Mary, what would you put in it?
Well, let me tell you, I have a Bloody Mary rib mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I can't believe you're actually doing this. I do my regular, I have a rub that I use on my, all my ribs, and then I will mix a thicker Bloody Mary, as I call it, but it's spicy. And so I'll do a Bloody Mary with A1 sauce, Worcestershire, celery salt. I hear the ice. Celery salt instead of celery seed. And here's the thing. This is the barbecue sauce maker in me. I'll take the onion, pepper, and celery, saute it, pulverize it, throw it in that Bloody Mary mix, and that's what makes it the thick Bloody Mary. With your vodka and your V8 or whatever you want to use, hot sauce to taste. I like nuclear waste. And then pour that on. Yeah, I mean, the hotter the better. The more you sweat, the better it was. You know that. But then I take that thick Bloody Mary and pour it over at the end. But this is a home thing. I don't think the judges at FBA would be going, we like this rib, but it ain't getting crap from us. and then I put it into caramelize for like 10 minutes afterwards, and that Bloody Mary with the vodka and everything, you know, like I like to make a bourbon sauce for different things, but the vodka does the same kind of thing that people like about bourbon or whiskey on the ribs, and it's amazing.
Well, in place of your celery seed and all that, to everybody out there, I put jokia in. Now, Lori, I don't know if you've ever heard of jokia, but I took a drink of it last week on my show, and it liked to have killed me.
Is it habanero?
Oh, it's a habanero, ghost pepper, and some kind of gorilla, don't kill you pepper. I don't know. It's Cajon's. And Cajon's, you know, all they make is hot sauce. So I don't know what I expected, but, you know, if you're going to buy a barbecue sauce from a hot sauce company, you're probably going to get your ass handed to you. And I did. So I put jokey in there, and I put smoking coals. Now I'm going with a little Master of Mixes Bloody Mary mix, and I've got a little black pepper in it, and I'm going to put a little salt in it.
Oh, this sounds
and,
like a winner.
Woo. And, now, if I had some celery, I put a stick of celery down in it. But, now, I put about 3 ounces of vodka, and then I looked at it for a minute, and then I put another 2 ounces of vodka in it. So I got an 8-ounce glass. I don't know what percentage that is. Could you tell me what percentage that is? now, we'll be broadcasting this at 8:30, but, man, I'm going to tell you, that looks like a nice Bloody Mary. And do you usually drink any Bloody Marys at night, or do you always save them for the morning?
We happen to like Bloody Mary Sundays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
how'd
you know.
That work?
It works out good.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
We're
by the time
Bloody
you
Mary
get done
Sunday
Friday and Saturday, you got a Bloody Mary Sunday.
Well, you know, it takes off the, you know, it's not exactly the hair, but it's something that, you know, I don't know. We've always done Bloody Mary Sundays, but little town, small town, that's what you do, I guess.
Well, now, Laura, I got to ask you, do you usually heat up your barbecue sauce before you put it on your chicken and ribs and stuff?
Absolutely. I heard you talking about that. There's a lot of guys that don't, and I carry a three-banger hot pot or crock pot with me. And I put my base sauce in the very first one, and then I put my mix of the base with whatever I'm using on my chicken so that I can pull it from pork. And then the last one is my brisket mix, which has just a little bit of my base sauce. But I think if you don't heat it, whether you're competing or not, you are tampering with what you've done the best you can do with. So the sauce keeps it hotter longer. I think it amplifies the flavor. And depending on, like, if you're using, you know, jacked up pepper sauce, then, and it's warm, pepper sauce, whenever it's warmed up, always gives you a little bit more heat. So you're missing out on the flavor if you don't do it that way.
All right, now, world premiere. Folks, you're going to see it right here. And I got Lori Frezzi. our Wednesday night host. Now, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Lori Crazy is on BNTL, Barbecue Superstars National Tailgate League Radio Network, and she's got a big, huge SBA kick-ass barbecue show. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, if you got a company out there, it's worth $50 or $100 a week to get on Lori's show because it's so over the top. And, Lori, I heard that you've been advertising on Facebook. It's just bringing you massive returns and a lot of listens.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I've done the boosting of the post because you kind of have to read all this stuff. But today I did because my barbecue or Barn Goddess Barbecue page doesn't have as many likes as my personal page because that's how I'm tied in. And I want to do more on the Barn Goddess page that my high school friends don't want to see, you know. So I just did a post today that's going to start tonight to actually bump up my likes on the Barn Goddess Barbecue page on Facebook, which allows me to do more things. So, you know, that's what I want to promote. I mean, my personal page I'm happy to share with everybody. But I've got a couple of vegetarian friends, and every time I post up meat, they write me things like, ooh, and, you know, I can smell it coming out of your skin, you know, and I always thought barbecue is curing the vegetarian for years and years, so I was wrong.
Now, this is the world exclusive, Lori. Now, I've always said, you know, I drink barbecue sauce, you know, on the radio show a couple weeks ago, I had bone sucker sauce, and, you know, I drank a good bit of it. I tell you, some of these sauces, bone sucker, it says hot and thicker style, but it's pretty sweet.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I've always said that we could make a soda or a cola drink out of barbecue sauce. And so tonight, with Lori on the phone here on the radio show, I'm going to try to make a barbecue soda. And I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm going to do it.
You've
got
the soda machine?
Well, I got a Sprite. And Sprite ain't the most generic soda that's ever been formulated. Now, Myra makes it injected as pig with Sprite. And a lot of people have used it in barbecue. Have you ever used Sprite as an injection or any part of barbecue?
I will mix it once in a while, depending on what I'm doing. When I do my Hawaiian pork for weddings, I use Sprite or lemon base soda to mix with everything else, but I use pineapple. But I do use, you know why, the effervescence of it. Once I inject it, I swear, even though I use Jim Elser's injector now, and it just like puts a billion, you know, it doubles the size of the meat. But I like to use a Sprite or a 7-Up, something like that, because the effervescence, air bubbles, allow more injection to go in. That's what I find.
Okay, now I've got about a half a glass of Sprite, and I'm putting about an ounce of Jokia because I want some heat to it. Good Lord. If I drink much of this Jokia, I don't care how much I mix down, I'm going to be on fire. Tomorrow, the next day, it's going to be telling on me. So if you know what I mean.
Yeah, go ahead. Too much information, TMI.
Okay, now I'm going with the Plowboys. I'm going to do Plowboys in Fuego, but I can't do a barbecue soda drink, without using a little bit of smoking coals.
There you go.
I'm going to go with it a little bit.
See, I think we should make barbecue perfume.
Oh, well,
you know,
like Fort Barrel Barbecue's got one. Now,
well,
I don't know if it's Chanel, you know, with a barbecue label on it or what, but go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just liquid smoke and a vaporizer because I'm having Heath on the show next week. And he's gonna be on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about that because I used to joke with guys that I was going to do an eau de barbecue and eau de puppy breath. And, you know, just take an atomizer and spray myself with smoke. But my boyfriend's always like, what is that smell?
Oh.
I hear you mixing.
Yeah, now, Sprite with those three barbecue sauces, and I'm making a barbecue soda. Now, I think this is something that would really take off. You know, folks, now let's think about this for a minute. You know, Pepsi, Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, you know, that's got to get boring after. It's the same damn thing every time you pick it up. But, you know, now, barbecue soda. Here we go. Catch it in the camera right there. Hell yeah. I'll be honest. I put a little vodka in it. But
you can't do that in the soda, man.
Well, I mean.
Now you got to start all over.
Well, you know, if you're a barbecue person, you got to put some vodka in it. I mean,
yeah, but you can't just market to the barbecue people. Because my dad's bringing me back 3 gallons of moonshine from Tennessee on Sunday. Did I tell you this?
Oh, what flavor is it?
Oh, it's just rock gut hardcore moonshine right out of the hills. And I'm going to make
the white one.
Oh yeah, the white one. It's the white one. And I'm planning to make apple pie and key lime for Swanee. So I'll be your girl with mason jugs.
Well, I'm surprised. You know what? The fact that the barbecue sauce is thinned down by the Sprite really makes it tasty and like a drink. This stuff is really, really good. I'm going to put a little more Sprite in it, but I like it better than I do the Bloody Mary I made.
Well, I think you have something new coming, and you may have a new injection, because I'm not opposed to injecting something with vodka. I mean, I do rum and vodka watermelon, so why not a freaking pork butt? But that's just me.
Well, let's talk about vodka and barbecue for a few minutes. You know, I went to Dana Hillis's, and he started making up a barbecue superstar sauce. And I was really excited when he started working on the process of making that barbecue superstar sauce. And first thing he did was he got some lemon lime rum. Now, I'm not going to tell you the ingredients in the sauce, because that's Dana Hillis's patent, but I'm going to tell you something. It does something to the sugar. When you put a little vodka, see, if you buy a commercial sauce and you get it and you put it in the pan, just like I have over here to my left on the heater, and you put a little vodka in it, you know, it does something to the sauce that when you go and you put it on the ribs or the chicken or pork or whatever you're doing, it actually makes a crystallized, tasted good, hell yeah, barbecue sauce. And have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, because of the way the sugars break down. And I'm all over that with you, because I do like to put bourbon in sauces at the house, and or red wine. I'm the queen of red wine in any kind of sauce, whether it's spaghetti, chili, or barbecue sauce. And people go, well, what is that? And the red wine breaks down differently, like you're saying. It's the sugar content in the alcohol, and nobody can ever figure out what it is.
Now, when you said red wine, have you ever been to Canada?
Yeah.
Did you ever live in Canada?
No.
Okay.
Hey, loser.
Because C-Dub Rub, Charles Wilson out of Washington State, married a girl from Canada, and they got a brisket, and that was the big story that they always told us. And she put red wine in a soak. Now, they soaked it all night in red wine and came out the next day and rubbed it and took it. But in Canada, they're crazy about red wine and food. And what all do you put red wine on? I mean, do you put red wine on a brisket or a butt, or have you soaked anything in it?
Well, the funny thing that you're saying that is, in the soak, I call a brine. As long as there's sugar and salt in it, it's a brine. When I'm doing briskets for at the house, I will add red wine to it, but it does darken the meat, and you have to watch that in competition. So I never put it in a competition, but I take Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'm not Bobby Flay, so I'm not saying it has to be one that you can drink. You only can cook with what you drink, I cook with what I wouldn't drink, and as long as the flavor is there, the rest of it breaks down. So I do a brine at home, and my regular brine with everything I do for the contest, and then I'll pour a half a bottle of Cabernet in there, and it gives it a killer flavor.
Okay, now, Glory, I got to get your opinion here. I did a comparison just now, Bud Light, Miller Light, and Coors Light, and I poured them in some great big old beer steins, and did a taste test of each one, and I got to admit the Coors Light had more of a hard beer aroma to it, and then the Miller Lite was a little softer on the aroma, but it had a little kick. And then the Bud Light had a lot of doggone bubbles in it. So, you know, what's your take on a comparison of Coors Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light?
Well, this household happens to be a Coors Light household. However, there's my however. My newest beer to use, and I've always used Coors when I'm doing butts, but I never use a light beer to do butts, but this is a Coors Light. That's what we provide for the guest and the rest of the family. But when I'm marinating or injecting a beer, I'm going to that, what's that, something apple red. I always use Coors, but the little apple flavor in that, the new ales, I'm going mm-hmm. to. But we love Coors Light here. That's kind of that. I'm watching your thing go by, and that's a no-brainer here because it does, like you said, it has the bigger smell and bigger flavor as a light beer. So we're Coors Light people. I vote Coors Light.
Wow, man, you're the first one now. Hell
oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now, I'll be honest with you. At the tailgating, Miller Lite is all over the place. And at barbecue competition, it's always Bud Light.
Yeah, I know
it is. I don't understand why everybody at a barbecue competition. But, you know, actually, I think Coors Light is a little stronger beer.
We do, too. It's even though the calorie count's kind of the same, it's more full-flavored as far as we're concerned.
Well,
but now
as
a cook, we're using full-bodied or an ale.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I got the feeling good now. Well, Lori, tell us a little bit more about how you got started. I think our listeners would be interested in finding that out. And about a minute into her talking now, I'm going to go ahead and play us a little Merle Haggard song. But tell us a little bit how you got started there, Lori.
Well, I got started because I was an agriculture teacher in Fort Myers, Florida, and we would butcher a pig every month. And I butted heads with a cafeteria cook because we were feeding the school. We were in a little baby school out in Alva, and that's how I started cooking for big groups. And then after that, it just kind of grew, and I've been competing for 2 years, but I've had a little catering business going on 4 years and just got known for doing barbecue, even though I pretty much cook anything. My weirdest cook was a Chinese bat mitzvah where I cooked a Chinese formal meal, 6 entrees for a little girl that had been adopted in China as an infant and was raised Jewish. And that was my most bizarre cook, but yeah, so, I mean, I love to cook and love to cook for people, but the barbecue competition, I'm just digging it. Wish I had more time for it and, you know, could afford to do it on a full-time basis because it's amazing. I love it. Loved meeting you guys, and, you know, now I'm calling you and busting your chops on your own show. Uh-oh, Daryl went to go to the bathroom. He didn't want to tell anybody. Okay, so Daryl's in the bathroom, and I'll just go ahead and take over because we're looking at the Bud Light Superstars thing. And other than that, we...
I've got got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. But sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. Now I can't help myself at all. And I get about a rambling man, put a cold one in my hand, 'cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. Don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry, 'cause I'll get all balled up inside, and I'll get
She's on Wednesday night every week if you tune in to BNTL. Now, the phone number to call in to Lori's show is 646-915-9540. And every week, fantastic show. Now, she's got Pork Barrel Barbecue. And, of course, everybody knows Pork Barrel Barbecue has been on Shark Tank. And he has really been working hard. And there's a young lady that works for him named Jennifer Brand, and they're a great combination for a big business. And Lori, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to play a little song in the radio show here. You still with us?
Oh, yeah.
No, good. Folks, if you're trying to call me, now, there's people trying to call me right now. The phone number to call is 347-202-0263. Just call into the radio show if you want to talk. Now, we're recording this on television, and I will have it up on YouTube, and I'll have it on the website. So if you call into the radio show, and we'll put you through. You can get on here with me and Lori. And, Lori, I tell you, there is no life like the barbecue life. And I know you do real estate during the day as your real job, but would you be interested in doing barbecue full-time if you could get a good catering or restaurant going and making big money?
Actually, Daryl, that's what we've been working towards. I've backed out of, we manage 65 homes for people, and after having guns pulled on me, my life threatened, I'm ready to back out of that, and I would love to do that. We're looking for a building, love to have a little place to have a restaurant and then really pursue the catering. I know that's whacked in this economy, but I'd really love to be doing that. I would compete every week if I had the means.
You know, Lori, I'll tell you, barbecue has the power to make that money, pull that business and industry in any time period. I tell you, I know business is rough now, and everybody out there is poor and broke. But you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. What's going on in America is not a happenstance or just an accident. You know, I believe it's being done to us. And the thing is, and I want to reach out to everybody in the country with this, is barbecue is something that the big companies can't take. And,
right.
You know, Dickies, Sonny's, they are big national companies. Now, they're not as big as Famous Dave. Famous Dave is the Mac Daddy. And, you know, when Famous Dave comes around, I can just feel the barbecue power, you know, coming off of him. Famous Dave is not just a barbecue restaurateur. He is a barbecue superstar. I mean,
yeah.
That guy, he lives it, he breathes it. I mean, he's centered his whole life around it. And that speech that Famous Dave made at the National Barbecue Association, which I filmed the whole thing and I always have to replay it, and I got to mention it, it's a life changer. And, you know, Lori, I just want to, you know, exhort you and encourage you. Folks, barbecue is something that the crooked man in the legislature that's a lobbyist cannot take from you, because that idiot can't do it. And so I want to encourage everybody, if you're good at barbecue, you love barbecue, or, you know, you just know how to do barbecue, get a restaurant going. That's something that's truly an American idea, an American venture, and see if you can't make it work it out. And what, Lori, do you need to really put you over the top and get you started on this venture?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously capital is a big thing. I had my buddy Tracy Smith on the show recently. He just opened a restaurant, and I said, if you could tell everybody that's listening the one thing to do when they're preparing to open a restaurant, he said, save money. And,
yeah.
You know, I got a big chuckle out of it, but the fact is I've been in business for myself since 1985, and it's hard to think about going back to teaching. I was very close to getting a pension, but, you know, America is built on the backbones of mom-and-pop businesses, and I'll probably go out with a mom-and-pop business, you know, so.
Well, let me tell you a story about a restaurant here in Greenville. My God, the name escapes me. There was a man that was there who was a big-time corporate executive, and he went out of business. And, they fired him. And, you know, in this day and age, there's four or five generations that are competing for jobs. And,
absolutely.
And now Generation X, I don't know, or the Generation 2000 are coming in, and they're taking all the big jobs, and the people who built the business and owned the business are getting thrown in the street. That's the 45, 50-year-olds. But this fella was one of those who got thrown out of a big corporate executive job. And so he went out on the corner. And this is a story I want everybody that's a barbecue lover and considering a barbecue business. He went out on a corner. Got a big grill. Now, Lori, you got that great big grill that you got. And he pulled up on that damn corner and started selling barbecue. Took in $500 the first day. Well, Brad Orson, I didn't realize that. Brad Orson and Brad Kay, they're both Brads. But anyway, he made $500 the first day. And now they've got five restaurants.
Yep.
And he's making a good living, and he did it. But now the only thing he had, Lori, now I know you got your boyfriend, is his son-in-law. His son-in-law was going to be a big country music star that actually went out with a fellow named Foster, who's a huge star now, and he backed off because he fell in love with this guy's daughter. And so, you know, you got to have people that'll work, you know. And now, you know, without a doubt, when I did the video down there in Fort Pierce, there's no question you cook a lot of food real quick and you're a hard worker. But so, you know, you and your boyfriend get in there, work hard, and then maybe just have one magnificent restaurant. Now, there was another guy. It's called Barbecue Backyard in Dallas, Texas. I went there. You know, I have been a lot of damn places, haven't I?
Yeah.
I went to Dallas, Texas, and I went to Barbecue Backyard, and there's a fellow in there, it's about 60, and he said that him, Dickie's Barbecue, and Sonny's Barbecue started in the same year. That was in 1960-something.
Oh.
And Sonny always had this thing about building a chain of barbecue restaurants. And Dickie didn't really think that way until later. But Barbecue Backyard in Dallas, Texas said, I was just never sure that if someone else cooked my barbecue, it would be to my standard.
Yep.
So he said, I just stayed here, and I tried to make the best barbecue I could for my career, which might have been a mistake because, my God, Sonny's has got 200 mega restaurants now. But so you see the picture there of Sonny's really breaking out, Dickie's in second place, and then Backyard was a 30-year stay at home. And how does that make you feel?
No, it you're exactly right. It, you know, I just want to. I don't get bitched at when I cook. You know, nobody complains. Everybody's happy. Everybody leaves happy. So when you come from a business that's a little high stress, like rentals right now, or trying to sell houses, it's stressful every day. I just get so much gratification in the cooking aspect of it because people do enjoy it, and I can be creative. Like you said, you saw me cook a bunch of things. Bernie, the guy that cooked with me down there, who I never met really until that day, he kept going, you just kept throwing crap together and it tasted good. Well, you know, it's a way to be creative and let out that avenue in your life too. So that's it's a passion. I love it. I've always loved it. And we were talking last night about why I didn't do it sooner, because I used to compete in the chili circuit years ago. And I don't know why I didn't do it or pursue it. I love it. And that's why I just love the barbecue thing. Plus, I get to hang out and, you know, tell stupid stories with people. So.
Well, I just had my son, who's a preacher, Joshua Andrew Mass. And he looks like he's been working hard today. I love you, Josh. And he just temped the chicken. And the chicken's been on for about an hour. And it's 170 on the outskirts and about 200 in the middle. So I imagine the middle 200, the middle pieces are probably done.
Yep.
But now, Lori, let me ask you something from a stance of being a big-time barbecue cook. Now, I understand when a piece of chicken or a piece of meat comes up to 175, 85, you know, Boston must 85 to 195 degrees. But how long do they have to stay at that temperature in order to be done? You know, I mean, okay, you got it up to that temperature, but how long does it have to stay there to really be done?
Here's the funny thing. If you get the internal temperature correctly, I happen to use a thermal pin, but I know there's a lot of other things available to take temperatures. If you get that temp, let's say the 195 for a butt or 185, whatever you are pulling it off on, you got to remember that internal temperature is already that. If you wrap it or if you put it in your Cambro, that's going to continue to cook at that temperature for some timing. And if your Cambro's hot or you've wrapped it in the moving blankets as the Myron Mixons and some of those guys do, that keeps that internal temperature where it continues to cook the outer meats, which are your either your shred or your pulled. So timing-wise, when you punch into a brisket, it may say one temperature, but, you know, I do the toothpick thing for feel. I hardly ever temp my briskets because if a toothpick goes in and it comes out really nice and clean and easy and you can feel the meat, then it's time for it to come off because I've temped
it.
Sorry?
So you just spread the gospel barbecue now. So you get it up to that temp, and then you rest it out the rest of the way.
Yeah, because it's still going to be internally cooking because that internal temperature has hit that. You're not going in at the outer skirts of the bark, let's say, or the where your burn ends if you're doing the tip or something. You're not just at the tip of it. You're in there. If your internal temperature is that, it's going to continue to cook. You have to know your meat and be careful not to either overcook it or to not, like I said, on brisket, I can temp it. If it doesn't feel right, then you still need to wait for that feel, the feel of that meat, because you need to respect. On a brisket, I say respect the meat because that's a whole other animal. But on my pork butts, when it gets to the temp, pull it out, it's going to continue to cook. So.
Which one is that? Okay. I'll give you, let you have this, too, in case you need it. Okay, so according to the Gospel of Lori Frizzee, Barn Goddess, my chicken right here, you know, it's up to temp. Now, one thing I want to say to everybody and let you know is that it appears to me, now it might be the placement of my charcoal, but this BBQ 42 tends to cook better in the center than it does on the edges. Now, I know if I went in there and got a rake and I pulled those charcoals to the edges, then it would get done on those. So what I'm going to entice my son, Joshua Andrew Mass, which I'm so proud of, you know, when a child is born, you never could believe that he could become a preacher. And I tell you something, Lori, he's done some stuff in the last 2 weeks that has just surprised me and blew my mind. Opened my eyes up to some stuff that's on the internet, and you know when the Spirit of God's moving with somebody when they're able to come and bring so much truth, you know, out of the blue to a person. And my son Josh is a good guy. Yeah, it's not him. He says it's God. But I think what I'm gonna do is now what you got to do, Josh, is pull this back, pull that ring back. No, this right here. That's like it's clamped. It's in that hole right there. This bar is in the hole, and this thing will slide back.
Well, that's part of it. Okay, I see.
Let me see. Where's my gloves at? Let me get my gloves, and hold on just a minute, Lord. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Where's that welding gloves at?
Right here.
Okay. I tell you what, if you would, just push down on it. Push down on the metal, like right here. Okay. Now, do the other side. All right, now grab this piece. I don't know, that chicken right there, because I got it stacked up double. It looks like it needs to be cooked some more.
Looks pretty cooked to me.
I tell you what. Let's give it about 10 more minutes. I just want to make sure. I don't like to have any raw meat.
No raw meat.
They're going to cook 40 people. 40 people are going to eat it. Let's give it about another 10 minutes and just make sure I'm not really in any big hurry. Now, folks, one thing that I was wanting to put out tonight so everybody can learn a lesson now. I'm a registered pharmacist. Is artichokes. Lori, have you ever heard of artichokes?
Love them.
Now, artichokes have a very huge medicinal use. Artichokes drain your gallbladder. Now, it drains the tube going from your liver to your gallbladder to your digestive tract. And now, I will warn you, I told somebody to start eating artichokes because they were having a gallbladder problem. And the stone that was in the gallbladder was too big to pass down through the tube. So they had, it made them have a gallbladder operation because when their gallbladder started to drain, it would not drain because the stone was too big. So, you know, I will tell you to do this with caution. Now, Swanson has got some gallbladder, artichoke hearts that have a juice with them. They're canned. It's got a whole heart with it. Now, if you get a jar or a can of artichoke hearts and you just start eating them, now you can make a sandwich out of them. If you get mayonnaise on a sandwich, you put artichoke hearts all the way across and put some cheese and lettuce. It'll taste a little bit like ham. I would rather you buy artichokes in water than I would artichokes in oil. But I've got some artichokes here tonight. And if you're having trouble with every time you eat, you feel bloated. Every time you eat, you feel constipated. Every time you eat, you just feel like you can't function. Artichokes will stop all that. It's got something to do with not being able to handle the fat content in your food, and artichokes will fix that. So I encourage everybody out there. Now, a lot of rich people, they'll eat artichoke and spinach dip. You'll see artichokes kind of thrown throughout their diet, and I always wondered why, but I've got a food for medicine encyclopedia in there now. And Lori, have you ever heard of that before?
I have. There's a lot of vegetables that do that, and I didn't realize that artichokes was as big as it is because, and I love them. We eat them all the time, so I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I tell you now, artichokes and hyssop tea. I don't know where in the world you can find H-E-S-S-U-P-T, but it's mentioned in the Bible that it has medicinal purposes. And really the biggest part of the medicinal purpose is it will clean your liver out. And I tell you something, you know, all the toxic things that we eat these days, you know, and if you take vitamins, and, you know, Lori, I'll tell you a little something about vitamins. 90% of the people in America get enough vitamins in their diet.
Absolutely.
That they don't need vitamins as an external, you know, you need to take a vitamin. And I tell you, you're wearing your kidney and your liver out, especially with the iron and magnesium and the heavy metals that are in vitamins. You know, eat a little bit of different. If you need iron, eat red beets. Red beets,
yeah.
Get as much iron as you need, and you excrete what you don't need. There's a whole lot of things you can do with food without taking vitamins. Or take vitamins 3 times a week. Take them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and don't take them any other days. And, you know, if you do want to force vitamins, then just take them a few days a week. And that's a big news from Barbecue Superstars. Hell yeah. Now, I just got to ask you, Lori.
No, you know, what's funny is you know, and I've had weight issues my whole life, so I'm a lifetime Weight Watcher member, and we pay attention to all that. So it's kind of funny to hear you saying that, but and I've been on every diet under the sun, and what you're reading, I think that's from the Maker's Diet, isn't it?
It sure is.
Okay. Like I said, I've read every one of them and I've probably been on every one of them, and, you know, it's good in, good out is what it all boils down to. And even though not always is barbecue good out, but it's great in. So you have to pick and choose. But, you know, we try to live, you know, eating decently. You know, I just had a birthday last week, and, not getting any younger is all I got to say.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm almost 50 myself. I'm 48 years old. I think you're 53.
Oh, yeah, you're younger than me. I forgot. You're a baby.
Yeah. I tell you, It goes by fast. I got to ask you, how did you handle the 50-year thing?
You know what? When I turned 50, was nothing because here's what I got to say. My 54 is the old 30. You know, when I turned 25 was when I had an issue. And the funny thing was I was teaching agriculture at the time and loving what I was doing, but I thought I was supposed to be making so much more money and everything else, and you know, and it was in the early 80s. But you know, you gotta, if you're loving life and doing what you like, your benefits are aplenty. So we're doing what we like, and every year we keep trying to change things. Like, you know, I think I told you that after I turned 50, and that was years ago, I wanted to learn to play the guitar. And so, you know, somebody said something to me today, and I go, oh, well, that's in the next, when I turn, by 60, I need to learn to do that. So as long as you keep learning and doing stuff, we're all good, man.
Man, I know you didn't say that S word.
No, I didn't say anything bad, did I?
Well, you said 60, and that's a bad word.
Oh, no, you know what? The alternative is worse. 60 is the new 40. So I'm good. Leon turned 60 in a couple months. 60 is the new 40. I remember my dad and mother had retired when they were my age completely. So, yeah, 60 is the new 40. We're good.
Well, now, when you cook a hamburger on your grill, what kind of seasoning do you usually put on yours?
Well, first off, I like Worcestershire sauce. So I mix it in with the burger, which is like a faux pas in a lot of worlds. But there's nothing, if you picked out a good beef or whatever you're going to mix it with, I happen to like a leaner beef. If you do just a liberal salt and pepper with a little garlic, I'm a big Everglades seasoning girl. If you put Everglades seasoning on it, you're probably going to be good. But otherwise, fresh ground pepper and fresh ground salt is amazing.
Did you say Everglades season?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Chris. I think I might have told you one time, but I cooked with him at Jimmy Rhodes' class, and I knew his product when it was owned by the original guy, and it was called, and I still call it Everglades seafood seasoning or monkey dust. And when I said monkey dust to him, he was like, oh my God, you do know us from the old days, because I was turned on to it a million years ago when I was sailing, and that's the only seasoning. You took it with you on a trip, and you had one seasoning, and you took Everglades seafood seasoning, and that's how what I still call it. And I make a mistake, but yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
I love it. I love Jimmy Grove, man. Tell us a story about Jimmy Grove right quick.
Well, he had the story I know about Jimmy, and here's the thing. I'm still relatively new, and I had gone to a couple of other classes, and Jimmy was going to offer a class at Camp Mack last year, and I emailed him and said, hey, man, you need some help, because I, you know, Myron's class, he has like 15 helpers. Rub doesn't have helpers, but he probably needs some. Not that if you're listening, Rub, love you, love the class, would take it again tomorrow, but he could probably use somebody that says, hey, let me help you. So I emailed Jimmy, and he goes, well, yeah, sure. No, you know, nobody ever really asked me to do that before. And he was like a little taken back, but very welcoming. And I got there, and they're like, okay, we don't know what we're going to have you do, but it'll come up. And I'm like, okay. So Chris, who's his sponsor, needed help cooking because we had too much fun at a local bar the night before. So they needed help cooking, and I ended up fortunately being able to cook with Chris and help serve the people. And Jimmy did a great job at his class. He was open. Terry McKay came there. That's really how I got to know Terry McKay, is somebody other than when you went by his trailer, you should just bow, because that's what I used to do. And so I got to see him on a different level, and he was so open with people. Jimmy did a great job getting people to be frank and literally give away some secrets that everybody else is reaping the benefit from. So that's my Jimmy Rhodes story. even though it, I could probably tell you something more bizarre, but he was very genuine and generous with his class, and I appreciated that.
Well, I went in the house, and I got two hamburgers, one for my son Josh and one for his buddy over there, and we're going to try to cook them on this BBQ42 right quick. And, you know, I tell you, all the people in the FBA, you know, there's a spirit of kindness in the FBA that is hard to express. And you know, I feel like everybody in the FBA is really friendly and family. And, you know, has your experience in the FBA been like that?
It's been great. I mean, you know, they first wonder why a woman's out there cooking by herself. And, you know, they stop by and we start BSing like you're stopping by anywhere else. And I'm totally enjoying it. The guys are helpful and welcoming. Like I said, when you first go in, you think, well, here's an example. I know who the Team Unknown is. Everybody knows who they are. But, you know, I contacted them to be on the show because, again, they're like the guys you go by and you bow and say you're not worthy as you go by. But I had them on the show a couple weeks ago, and, you know, they're just genuine guys that want to have a good time while they're barbecuing. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, now, Dorsey, Odell, and Jason, they're a couple characters. I love them to death.
They are characters.
Dorsey can sing pretty good.
And I've challenged him to make up a new barbecue song because we have the FBA song and we have the Terry McKay song. But
uh-huh.
Have you heard that monster truck song, We Jack 'em Up and Ride 'em?
No.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you don't know this. Well, Leon, being the DJ that he is, he kept talking about this monster truck song, and you'll have to go on YouTube and watch it. It's a bunch of, you know, redneck boys in their trucks that are taller than I am and could never get into them, and it's We Jack 'em Up and Ride 'em. So it's one of those songs that stick in your head, and I said to Dorsey while he was on it, you know, because that song was in my head that day, can you do something like We Smoke the Meat and Eat 'em? I don't know what it's going to be, but he's...
Tell you what, just go ahead and grab the hamburger. Go ahead and take it. It'll take that long for the hamburger to get done. I haven't done when you come back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. He'll come up with something. It'll be funny. I don't know what it'll be, and maybe he'll debut it, and we'll put that out there to Dorsey that we're expecting the new smoke and meat barbecue song for anybody, not at just FBA, that we can do a big YouTube debut, and it'll be about smoking meat and having a good time.
You just please fan, bring it back. Well, I tell you, I guess we're going to let our cameraman go. If you want to, you could just kind of lock the camera right there and leave it on record. And I've got a great cameraman, William Radford. We appreciate you helping us tonight. And they're going to take you back to where he lives. And we got about 40 pounds of chicken going to a bunch of hungry people that's going to eat it all up before you know it. And Josh, just leave the whole red box there, and I'll get it tomorrow. And we're going to fry two hamburgers for my son Josh and Adam, Josh and his buddy. And then we're going to close up the radio show here in just a few minutes. And if you would, William, on the way out. Oh, Molly. We need to get Molly in the gate. And just pick her up and bring her on because she won't come by herself. Have you got any dogs, Lori?
Well, I have five.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I'm a dog girl. I've had dogs my whole life. So, yeah. I've got three little weenies. I've got a cattle dog and a lab at heart right now.
And I want everybody out there to give William Raffert a big old round of applause.
Woohoo!
And, let him know how much we appreciate him videotaping all this. And
hell yeah.
We appreciate him so much, and we'll have him back again. And,
come here, Molly.
Now, July 26th and 27th, we'll be going down there to Live Oak. Is that the Swanee one?
Yes, it is.
And we'll be shooting a new Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. The keys are in the truck.
Okay.
And if you would, just open the gate, and y'all can haul it. Come on back, and I'll have these hamburgers ready for you. Thanks, William. And now, Damon Woolley, he's a character. He's a great guy down there in the FBA, isn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he does that show or contest and doesn't take a dime. And it did not go well at the old facility, and they've moved it to the fairgrounds. And he is promoting it. He's working it hard. And everybody needs to know, you know, not all promoters make money. This is strictly for a charity of the kids in the area. So, you know, we really want to support it. I don't know that I'm going to cook it this year, but I'm probably going to go up because of some other functions that I have personally catering around it. But, you know, last year there was 100 teams, and it was really, for a first-year event, it was amazing. Like I said, we're expecting Dorsey to do a debut song. They have, I mean, they have like 85 judges have to come. It's a big contest, and it's because Dorsey's commitment to it. But it is for the local school kids, and it's a great deal.
Holy camole, Dorsey O'Dell is going to do a new song.
Yeah, we're hoping he's debuting it there, man.
You know what's going to be crazy? We'll be there with live cameras shooting it live.
Well, and that's I'm so excited because Dana's really excited about the next battle. I'm anxious to see who's part of it. Can't wait to see you. And I may bring up I bought a little video camera because I've been wanting to do videos about different injections and stuff for people that have asked me. And I'm not good with that camera yet, so I am not technology challenged. I'm just resistant. I'm part of the resistance. You know, it's my age group.
Well, let me encourage you about one thing with your camera. Get a stand.
I bought
a tripod,
one.
Whatever, and fold it all the way up. And don't ever stand with the camera in your hand. Your hand's going to shake like crazy. But if you get a hold of the tripod that's folded all the way up and walk around with grabbing the tripod, you'll be able to hold it steady and it'll make a beautiful video.
Oh. Hey, that's great.
Smoke in the eye. If you're out there listening, please quit holding the camera with your hand. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, My neck gets tired of shaking, you know. And I promise you, if you'll do what I suggest right there, then you won't have any problems.
Well, Daryl, I know that I really just called in for the heck of it for a few minutes, and I've like taken all your time. So my wine glass is empty, and I'm like parched. So I gotta go get another glass of wine.
Yeah, we're getting ready to get off. It's probably after 8 o'clock. And we appreciate everybody come by. If you had a good time, I hope you get a hell yeah out of it. And we'll have the video up here in about 30 minutes. And, Lori, good luck with Barn Goddess. And make sure Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on BNTL. You always check it out. And, Lori, you want to say a goodbye?
Hell yeah, I do. Tune in, and thanks for having me on, Daryl. It's good to talk to you, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, well, that's Lori Frazee, Barn Goddess, on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. And she'll have my main man from Port Barrow Barbecue in there next week. And we're going to let everybody go. And now if you buy a $100 membership, I'll send you this big Smoking Coals gin bag. That's for the first person. The second person will get a Barbecue Superstars hunting hat. And everybody who gets one will get matches and koozies. And but the thing about getting a membership on Barbecue Superstars is, and that's the biggest thing, is that Barbecue Superstars will start promoting you. And we can promote people. So go to the membership part, Barbecue Superstars. And people who have got memberships on Barbecue Superstars have ended up on CHOP, On Food Network, Barbecue Pitmasters, local television. I did get a call from CBS. They're doing a show called Below the Lines. And we, Barbecue Superstars, Memphis and May Video is going to be on. They're going to make a whole television show out of it. So we're moving up, moving out. Becoming a member will get you out there in the public. Well, this is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars. We love every one of you.
And thanks for stopping by.
Got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. But sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. Now I can't help myself at all. And I get about a rambling man, put a cold one in my hand, 'cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. But don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry, 'cause I'll get all yeah.